Okay, Ephesians. As we continue on the book of Ephesians, we're in Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, we left off around verse 14, but let's read up to that point again, as concerning taking on the whole armor of God. Okay, now the armor of God, which we are to put on, is also the vestments of our priesthood. So we can see the fulfillment of those things in the symbolisms and types and shadows of that first covenant concerning Levi and Judah. Okay, that of these two tribes of Levi and Judah, the Lord would be with Israel. We see also that Jesus fulfilled both symbolisms as the priesthood and the king, because Jesus is the high priest of our profession, and he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, and this tradition is passed down to those of faith, which is us, okay, that we are called kings and priests, and that we follow this divine pattern, okay, in our worship. So the vestments which we put on, okay, for our priesthood is also the armor of our faith. Okay, so the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, okay, is showing them the responsibility of their priesthood, that through our priesthood we would subdue our enemies, okay, and we would bring judgments against all unrighteousness, okay, through the tools of this covenant. Okay, those things which Jesus purchased with his own blood. Okay, so the Apostle Paul said finally, okay, in verse 10, finally as concerning understanding these things and the parallels, okay, as concerning our relationship with God, okay, as being our Father, okay, and also as our responsibility, okay, to steward these things, okay, to build a house of God, okay, that we are building the house of God through Jesus Christ. Okay, so he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Okay, being strong has to do with, let this be your point of confidence, and also our point of access is by that of the Spirit, because God is a consuming fire. So anything that's less than God is consumed. Only that which is equal to God, okay, is received and honored. Okay, so we honor him with flame, okay, or heart to heart, soul to soul, and eye to eye. Because our thoughts are his thoughts through Jesus Christ, and our ways are his ways through Jesus Christ. So here he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And the power of his might has to do with the tools of this priesthood. And the tools of a priesthood is what we're putting on. So we're putting on these things now, okay, which reflect him, okay, and which reciprocate him, so that now we're also bearing his image, okay, in his vessel of flesh. And bearing his image in his vessel of flesh, we're able to increase the house of God, okay, through these things, okay, our sacrifices, our performance. Okay, not a performance of a vain activity, okay, but a performance that's concerning an ordered activity. Okay, the vain activity is that which, okay, we resource in the moral code with the imagination. Okay, but that which is your activity has to do with these keeping of his commandments. Okay, and that's what Jesus said. Okay, if you love me, keep my commandments, okay, even as I love my Father and kept his commandments. I follow in the activity, okay, to provide for you a record. That's what Jesus was saying. I followed an activity, a predetermined activity, to provide myself as a record of your faith. Okay, so that by this record of faith, you will be redeemed, okay, and that you increase my house. Okay, so put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, let's talk about this again for a moment. Okay, the wiles of the devil has to do with these things. Wiles has to do with false knowledge. Okay, and this false knowledge tethers the moral code, tethers the soul, to a perspective, okay, which is puts you in the light of false justification. Okay, false holiness, okay, false sanctification, false righteousness, okay, the wiles of the devil, okay, is using the moral code, okay, and for the, and making promise with the moral code that one could prosper, okay, with God's favor. And we know that one can't prosper in God's favor by the moral code. We prosper only by faith. As Paul brings out, the just shall live by faith. Our lifestyle centers around a whole different kingdom and system and a whole different name. Okay, so here the wiles of the devil again has to do with tethering us to a different perspective. Okay, and one of the hardest barriers to overcome is the perspective of oneself, okay, which is tethered to the moral code. Okay, that if we allow our moral code to be the standard, okay, which has to do with one's principle or forte, then it becomes a stumbling block, okay, and a form of offense, okay, towards God and man. Okay, but we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. Okay, and loving God with all your heart, again, has to do with the heart, which is full of faith. And your soul has to do with the will to serve. All your mind has to do with the study of doctrine. And with all your strength has to do with the proper sacrifices. And through loving God, okay, with these things, we will not provide offense for a neighbor. And we love our neighbor as ourself. Okay, now verse 12, he goes on here. Now, our struggle is not with flesh, it's with another kingdom. So you might want to highlight the word wrestle there. So if we wrestle not against flesh and blood, we wrestle not against the physical kingdom with physical things. Because we know, okay, even in the book of Genesis, it showed, okay, that Adam trying to gain approval of God, okay, through physical things. Satan's temptation to Adam was that through coming in contact with this physical substance of eating of this tree, okay, that you will be able to bridge, okay, a breach which God put upon you, being in this in dimension of waters. Okay, that you'll be able to bridge this breach through this form of contact. That same deception and mindset called the wiles of the devil still exists and prevails today in the minds of the disobedient. Okay, that through physical contact points, one can bridge the breach, that breach of death. The breach of death has to do with also loss, okay, which also has to do with those things which cause pain, sorrow, okay, and also that which has to do with restriction of time. Okay, so the adversary, since the very beginning, made a promise, which promises he can't uphold because it's not tethered to the oath of God. Okay, that which is tethered to the oath of God, which is in the bosom of the Father, being in the throne, okay, is that which gives life and substance, light and life. Okay, but the promises of Satan, okay, is tethered to not to the oath, but to himself, which is death. So everything that he promises works death unto death. But everything that God promises is in him, yea, and in him, amen. Which means, again, that everything that's joined to him, okay, is received back to him. So it's flame to flame. So ever since the day of Pentecost, God provided us a tool of flame. That with this tool of flame, we will reciprocate those things which is equal to God, knowing that God is a consuming fire. Okay, so it's fire into fire. Okay, and not any kind of thing that springs to the soil, marked by time, which is consumed by fire. Okay. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, okay, the physical things. But, of course, our struggle is against a perception, another perspective, a perspective that's lower than God, less than God, being found in the soil, okay, that which man was taken from. Okay, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, okay, against spiritual wickedness in high places, okay, which has to do with also the 13 princes. Okay, so we see that the whole world is tethered to Satan's perspective, and they view everything according to the standard of their own moral code. Okay, because they want God to increase their moral code, okay, or increase the value of themselves through the moral code. Okay, and so they want to set order by it, they want to set increase by it, and they want to set pleasure by it. They also want to control by it, They want to dominate by it, or they want to destroy by it. You know, we're talking about the God code with the moral code equals death. Okay, but the God code with the pattern of faith, okay, which is Jesus Christ, the living record, okay, we have increase in the increase, and that increase in the increase is the of the eternal value. Eternal value is everlasting life. So that's why Jesus says, "Come unto me, okay, and hear in me, and take unto me, and take unto you my yoke. Take unto me unto you. Okay, take my knowledge. Let my knowledge direct you. Okay, and my knowledge you build with. Okay, by my knowledge you will survive. Okay, by my knowledge you will overcome." The things that are tethered to this world and tethered to the moral code, which is tethered to the flesh, is tethered to kingdom of darkness, okay, is that which promises peace and security. When they shall say peace and security, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as we see in the book of Thessalonians. Okay, and Paul, writing about these things, is giving the saints discernment, okay, that the world cries out for peace and security. Okay, and that they want to rule, they want peace and security to rule by the moral code. They want God to assist them in their aspiration. And God will not confirm nor assist the aspiration of man because it's tethered to death. Okay, whatever is of the flesh will die. Whatever is the spirit will live. Okay, so when he says the word darkness, you might want to highlight the word darkness there in verse 12. Okay, again, darkness has to do with ignorance. Okay, ignorance has to do with a form of demonic thinking. Demonic thinking. Okay, it's a perspective of death. Okay, and death works with debt. D-E-B-T, debt. Okay, now the works of the law are debt. Okay, the works of the law are debt. Now, the law has to do with a precept. So when those of the kingdom of darkness, okay, use the precept, okay, in order to try to find a moral center, for a form of expression and a lifestyle, they're not living by faith, they're living by precept. So the Bible then to them becomes nothing more than a psychological anchor. Okay, a psychological anchor. They look at the Bible to find something to measure themselves with or to project themselves with. See, all the scriptures that they read, okay, becomes the oath of their own aspiration, and not the oath of the Lord. Because the oath of the Lord is found in the throne. Okay, the oath of the Lord is found in the throne. The oath of the Lord is not found in precept. But the precept was written for the purpose of pointing us to Christ. Okay, it did not produce the reality, but it did have a point of direction. So we see that the scriptures being written here, okay, were written for the benefit, okay, of showing us, okay, and pointing us to the record, not producing the record, but pointing us toward the record, okay, helping us identify it. Okay, and we can see this in the lifestyles of the people, okay, that the Spirit of God selected, okay, the lifestyles of the people. Okay, and that's why we see in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, we see people. Hebrews 11 talks about people. It doesn't talk about precept at all. It talks about people. Okay, by faith, so-and-so. By faith, Abel. Okay, by faith, Noah. Okay, by faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. And by faith, Jacob. Okay, by faith, people. Okay, people, okay, were selected because these particular individuals were selected in order for God to reveal himself and his oath through. Okay, he reveals his oath through people, not precept. Okay, but the precept would point to the oath. Okay, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, because Jesus Christ is the oath of the Lord. He is the word of God, and he is the vow of his power. Okay, so let's look at that word for a moment, the word vow, V-O-W. Okay, Jesus is the vow, okay, because he's the voice, he's the oath, he's the word. Okay, now the vow is seen in the bosom of the Father. Okay, it's the image of this vow that's in all creation. Okay, is the image of this vow, okay, which the God code follows. Okay, and that's why the God code is seen throughout all nature, and it's also seen in the sovereignty of man. Okay, it's seen in nature, okay, as concerning the changing seasons, okay, concerning life and death, concerning darkness and light, okay, as concerning also memorial and also offspring heritage, and perpetualness. Okay, is seen also in the migration of fish, birds, and animals. Okay, the mystery is seen within these things. We can see it in the migration of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We can see it in the migration of the children of Israel, and also in the preaching of the gospel in the ends of the earth. Okay, that the gospel which began to be preached at Jerusalem went to the ends of the earth, and it's now beginning in the ends of the earth and in Jerusalem. That's the migration of the gospel. Okay, we can see also a new heavens and new earth. Okay, the first earth will be destroyed. The second earth will take its place. The first Adam died. The second Adam lives forever. Okay, we can see these symbolisms and types and shadows and these things which God selected in order to point to the true image itself, Jesus Christ, the oath of the Lord. So write the word vow down, and we'll talk about the voice, the oath, and the word as we come up to these next things here. Okay, as concerning the tools and the implements, okay, of our priesthood. Okay, so the word vow, V-O-W, has to do with voice. Okay, the voice is the empowerment. See, the oath is that foundation, and the word is found in his judgments. Okay, I'll say that again. The vow is the empowerment. You can see this throughout all the scriptures. Okay, the voice of the Lord. Okay, as the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Okay, it shows it has a force of destruction and has a force of building. Okay, the voice of the Lord makes the hinds the calf and discovers forests. Okay, it has new beginnings, new cycles. Okay, we see this in the seasons. Okay, as we're entering the next season now. Okay, but we see spring, summer, fall, winter. Okay, the voice of the Lord, okay, is an empowerment, okay, of all creation. Okay, is the empowerment of our faith, the voice of the Lord. We see this throughout the beginning, even we see that in Genesis and Exodus, okay, Numbers and Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. Okay, we can see that the voice of the Lord. Okay, now the voice of the Lord came in Moses, which means the empowerment, but the empowerment came with that now of the holy knowledge. Okay, now if the vow. Okay, if the vow itself, the oath of the Lord, is found in all creation, okay, then what is it that God has his wrath against? He has his wrath against anything that opposes faith. Okay, now the vow of the Lord must be joined to faith in order to be productive. Okay, it has to be joined to faith to be productive. So God has selected a certain form of activity, whereas it would increase in eternal things. Okay, not temporal things, but the vow is found in temporal things. Okay, as that of the flesh. Okay, but now, but right now, we don't see the fulfillment in that until Christ comes back to establish the third covenant. Okay, whereas the flesh, again, being joined to the Spirit, will find an eternal expression, okay, in the holy city, the New Jerusalem. Okay, I'll say that again. Now, the vow, which means the voice, the V-O-W, okay, the V-O-W. Okay, the voice has to do with the empowerment. The oath has to do with the foundation. Okay, and the word has to do with his judgments. Jesus is the oath of the Lord. He's the voice of the Lord, and he's the word of God. Okay, because he's fulfilling all these things. Okay, at this present time. Okay, now the word was made flesh. Okay, and God put his judgments in this world through Jesus Christ. So Jesus, being the word of God in the flesh, was able to change the direction. Okay, and change judgments in the earth. He cast out devils. He walked on water. He did everything, okay, by his word. Okay, and everything was sustained by his voice. So how do we know it was his voice? Because he said, "I am He. I am Yah." Okay, all the angels recognized the vow of God through the person of Jesus Christ, even though God was manifest in a different form. Okay, the oath of the Lord never changed. Okay, and even though we are in the form of the flesh, the oath of the Lord does not change for us, okay, because we walk by faith. Okay, but those which walk according to the course of this world, okay, according to principalities and powers of the air, okay, are using that power of God in the God code, okay, for their own aspirations, and with that comes vanity, vexation, and death, because the works itself are in debt. It doesn't meet God's expectation. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay, our sacrifices, our lifestyle, and our perception is not tethered to things that die, or in or or are in debt. Okay, that first covenant. Because everything in the first covenant, we see, was in passing. The sacrifices on the altar of fire were passing. Okay, the gold, the silver, and the precious stones was symbolic, but in passing. Okay, because Jesus is the fullness of those things, which never passes away. Okay, but when he died on the cross, he showed as concerning, okay, the marring of the image of the flesh, okay, was only to rebirth, okay, as coming as rising from the dead, giving rebirth, giving new direction and new hope, so that now our tongue rejoices and our flesh rests in hope, as the Apostle Peter brought out at the day of Pentecost. Our heritage changed. Okay, our heritage changed from that of man to God, and our memorial changed from that of man to God, and our destiny changes from that of man to God. Okay, and Jesus provided us all this in himself. Okay, but as long as Adam was tethered to those things which are the flesh, okay, then everything was looked upon according to the physical oracle rather than the spiritual oracle. Okay, but Abraham taught his children, okay, because Abraham looked not for a city that has foundations in this earth, or a memorial or heritage of this world, okay, but he looked for that which is yet to come. Okay, so Abraham provided us insight of what Christ would give us, that Jesus would preach according to Abraham's perspective. This is why Jesus went to the top of the hill and received the oracle given to him, the things which he was going to fulfill when he went to Jerusalem. Okay, and the Apostle John went to the top of the mountain, and he saw the true oracle of God, the holy city, New Jerusalem. Okay, when Abraham went to the top, the Lord says, "Now open your eyes, okay, and look toward heaven." Okay, in other words, there's something yet to come. Okay, and tell the number of stars if you be able to. Okay, so is my promise. Okay, now, and then he said to Abraham, "Look afar off, as far as your eyes can see." Okay, Moses followed the tradition of the flesh, okay, and the law was assigned to the flesh, okay, that the flesh was weak, and the flesh was frail, and the flesh was temporal, okay, until Christ would come. Okay, whereas now, okay, all the ordinances which is against us were blotted out because of Jesus Christ. They were removed, okay, and being removed, if those things being removed, we have no longer any confidence in the flesh. Okay, but we have confidence in him that rose from the dead. So now we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Our confidence no longer lies in baptisms, communion, Sabbath day observation, or tithing or circumcision. Because all those things were of our fathers, okay, being types and shadows until Christ would come. Okay, that would give us a new circumcision, a new tithing, a new Sabbath, okay, a new baptism, a new communion, all in himself. Okay, as we see also in Romans, chapter 5, he talks about that. Okay, that we are not, but now we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, who has provided us this inheritance. Okay, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Okay, we're struggling against a philosophy. We're struggling against an invisible kingdom. Okay, the sinner is not aware of this kingdom. Neither are they aware of his influence, because the influence of Satan, okay, is set within the heart of the sinner ever since they were born. A perspective was granted to them, okay, for need, okay, for the need of flesh, okay, for the need of the body, okay, for the need of intellectual increase or the need of an emotional increase, okay, the need of trying to find one's position in the pecking order of society. Okay, this is what Satan taught. Okay, the pecking order of society. Okay, that a person, okay, according to their tongue, kindred, race, okay, or creed of life, okay, would determine the pecking order of society. And God says, "I have removed that. You're my sons now. Okay, you're my sons and daughters. There's no pecking order here. Okay, I have received you unto myself because of my son, Jesus Christ." Okay, so there's no pecking order as concerning my kingdom. I have received you equally unto myself. Okay, but Satan taught Okay, Satan put value upon the flesh, and so those of the moral code were pursue these things unto death. They were pursue these things to the vexation of their own soul, and all their fruits are vanity. Okay, and all the fruits of the moral code is a lie. Okay, as the scriptures say, that all men are liars. Okay, this was identifying the record of the moral code, okay, which possesses the signature of man. Okay, it's temporary. And being temporary, it's a lie. Okay, but if our but if we follow the record of Jesus Christ, okay, that record is true. Okay, that record is holy. That record is honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Philippians. Okay, because it's not founded on perishable things, it's founded on the eternal things. Okay, it's founded on the immortal things. Okay, which has to do with the knowledge of God, the holy knowledge of God. Okay, which is the baptism. Okay, of God's kingdom, the baptism of His Son is this holy knowledge. The baptism of Moses, okay, was of water. Okay, the baptism of Jesus is this holy knowledge, truth. This is what we worship God by, as Jesus declared, and as John the Baptist also announced. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Of his fullness have all received, and grace for grace. His baptism is in knowledge. Okay, mine is in water. I come baptizing with water, but he that comes after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. A baptism of fire is a baptism of his knowledge, which is in truth. Okay, and it's this truth that tries the heart and purges the conscience. Okay, and sustains your faith, so that we worship God fire with fire. Okay, praying in tongues. Okay, is the worshiping and reciprocation of things of the Spirit, building the house of God with fire. Okay, it purges the soul. Okay, and this Satan can't enter into, because everything of Satan's kingdom is of the temporal, kingdom, is of flesh, which perishes. Okay, now the rulers of darkness of this world, okay, which has to do with, when he says the world, he's talking about a system of expression. Okay, the rulers of the darkness of this world, which is a form and system of expression, okay, only rules because of that. It rules only because of that. So it does not dominate us, because Jesus said himself, the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. Okay, what Satan has to offer in regards to your faith will not have any power against you. Because the keys of my kingdom are not of this world. The keys of my kingdom, okay, are that of faith. Okay, so that's why he says against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, in the heavenlies. Okay, those things of the heavenlies vexed Adam because of the moral code. And the moral code centers on issues and relationships. Okay, it also settles upon, okay, or addresses the settling of the conscience. Okay, trying to bring equity to the conscience, okay, through the aggression of one's moral code. Okay, and our conscience is pure only because of faith. Okay, but the world is setting themselves on a journey to try to purge themselves, okay, of the defiled conscience. And that's why the sinners are always repenting. They're repenting because they're always trying to rectify the condition of the conscience. So wherefore, take unto you, verse 13, the whole armor of God. Take the vestments of fire. The vestments of fire. Armor of God. Armor of God. So underline the word armor of God, or highlight that. Okay, and write the word fire over God. Okay, because God is a spirit. God is a consuming fire. So write over the word God, over the word fire. And write over the word armor, vestments. Take unto you the vestments of fire, the armor of God. And with this, okay, we're able to please God by this, and also destroy the works of the enemy, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, the evil day, again, has to do with the time of your testing. Okay, the time of your testing. Okay, now, God is the one that creates the scenario for this. Okay, but God is also the one that rewards you for your choices. Now, Satan, understanding the time of your testing, will try to enter into the circumstances in order to try to, set a barrier to your faith. Okay, now the barrier to your faith is one's is false knowledge. Okay, was with the experiences that you had prior to faith or prior to covenant. The adversary work on your fears. Okay, the adversary work on your fears, and we can see this even in the book of Numbers and Leviticus. Okay, where the adversary, okay, there's two men that had a good report. Okay, now but the other ten had an evil report. Okay, that was the evil day. Okay, now Caleb and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, or Joshua, son of Nun, okay, they had the good report, okay, because they had another spirit. Okay, God rewarded their faith. Okay, but those, the ten others, okay, had an evil report. Upon the day of their testing, they reflected upon their frailty and challenges they had of their own experience. Okay, so their own experience testified against them. Okay, that is the works of debt. Okay, that testified against them, and that worked death. And that's exactly what happened. They died of the plagues. Okay, the works of debt worked death. Okay, and those that follow that pattern are under the wrath of God. These are the children of the curse, the children of wrath. But we are the children of the day, okay, not of the night. Okay, we are the children of mercy and not of wrath. Okay, because we're following the choices of faith. Okay, a new tethering and a new rhythm. Okay, not the rhythm of nature, which condemns, but the rhythm of the Spirit, okay, which gives life. Wherefore, taking the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against in the evil day. Okay, so that's a time of their testing. And having done all to stand, which he says here, we're standing by faith. Now, the word stand also means marking the place of your confidence. Where is the place of your confidence? Well, the place of your confidence is in the temple. Okay, at the altar of Christ, in the temple with the tools. That's your place of confidence. That's why, as another example, developing good habits. Okay, developing good prayer habits, developing good study habits. Okay, because good habits are hard to make, and bad habits are hard to break. Bad habits continually put you in a state of fretting. A state of fretting. Okay, it makes you doubt concerning God's capabilities. Okay, and it puts you when it puts you in that state of mind, the conscience is defiled. Okay, and if the conscience is defiled, okay, there's no faith. Okay, and that's where you gravitate to try to rectify things by the works of the flesh, which are the moral code. Okay, that you will follow the pattern of instinct, which works for the signature of man. Okay, and not with faith, which works with the signature of God, the record, Jesus Christ. Okay, so the evil day has to do with the time of testing. And we all face that. I face that, you face that. Okay, the time of challenge. Okay, where the circumstances, okay, which are contrary to your faith, seem to stand very strong and loud. Okay, as when the children of Israel faced their enemies. Okay, the giants, that was real. Okay, we're not denying the reality of the circumstances. Okay, we're just denying, the voice of the circumstances. That the voice of the circumstances did not stand for my faith. Jesus Christ stands for my faith. I stand on the foundation of His oath. Okay, I work and have confidence in His voice. Okay, and I follow according to His word. I keep His commandments. Okay, so I walk by faith. I can't stand in the shadow of the giants and have confidence before God. Okay, I stand under the shadow of His wings at the altar, all right, in the temple with the tools, government, truth, and spirit. So this is marking the place of our confidence, consistency, conformity, and communication. Consistency with the tools, the conformity to government, okay, communication with the reflection and reciprocation of this holy knowledge. Okay, there's where your faith is going to increase. Okay, you'll be abounding in your charity, abounding in all knowledge, increasing in your faith. That's what you want. Okay, with these things, okay, your eyes continually behold the things of the Lord with all clarity. Okay, but without these things, without the three C's, consistency, conformity, and communication, okay, your faith becomes dim. Okay? And when your faith becomes dim, you begin to fret, and you also become more covetous. Okay? Covetousness, which is also a form of idolatry. Okay? And idolatry is founded within the moral code of man. Okay? The standard of man, the instinct of man, the signature of man, the tradition of man. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's the first thing he says. Truth, facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. That is what he says. Okay, and as concerning what he says, the person himself, what he says and what he does, the product of that. Okay, which is found in the vow of the Lord, the empowerment, the foundation, and the judgments of the Lord. What he issues forth for your faith to be exercised with. Okay, so your loins are girt about with truth, so that you won't be found naked. Now, we see that the church of Laodicea was naked. But thou art wretched, naked, poor, but thou art wretched, poor, blind, and naked. Okay, as the Spirit of the Lord spoke to the Apostle John, okay, in the book of Revelation there. That the church of Laodicea, okay, was in a state of decay, okay, because the priesthood, okay, was weakening. Okay, and their eyes became dim. Okay, as the Apostle Peter brings out, but he that is blind cannot see afar off. Okay, and cannot see far off, which means the perspective of God, okay, is no, and his hope, okay, becomes clouded or like fog. Okay, like fog on a highway or smoke across the road. Okay, it restricts your visibility. Okay, and that's what happens when your faith grows dim. Okay, there's a restriction to your visibility. Okay, with carnal things. Okay, and the thicker it gets, you notice your mobility slows. It becomes slower and slower and slower. Okay, because you don't want to race through that smoke and race through that thick fog, because you can't see your visibility is so restricted that. Yeah, you wouldn't have time to stop, and then you end up having a lot of car accidents, a pileup they call it. Okay, so you want to keep your visibility, okay, with great clear to great distance, as our Father Abraham, Moses, the Apostle John, okay, and as Jesus also went to the hilltop, okay, to receive his orders, okay, in order to complete our salvation on Mount Hermon. Okay, let's go on here. So here, you're girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, you notice he's saying two things right here. He's talking about your loins, girt about with truth. Okay, it's physical, spiritual. Okay, the armor of Judah and the priesthood of Levi. But our priesthood is according to Melchizedek. Okay, not according to Levi, because Levi offered physical things until Christ would come. Okay, Melchizedek also offered spiritual things. Okay, which pattern Jesus followed. That's why he says, after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, it says, after the pattern which Melchizedek set for him, is what we're following. Okay, that same pattern. Okay, verse 15, having your feet shod, there's the physical, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the spiritual. Okay, and above all, taking the shield of faith, physical, spiritual. Okay, so here we see the word faith, again, it's talking about, it's concerning that fruit. Okay, so we see the gift of faith. Okay, there's three expressions of faith, as the gift of faith, the doctrine of faith, of our faith, and of course the fruit of faith. And here he's talking about that fruit of faith. Okay, because the fruit of faith is what increases. Okay, the fruit of faith increases in us. Okay, through the expression of charity. If you want your faith to increase, you have to express charity. If you want strong faith, you have to use the tools God provided for you, your faith to be increased and strengthened with. Okay. Wishing for faith is never going to bring it to you. You have to know how to exercise, okay, your will with this knowledge. Okay, and without proper instruction, okay, it becomes false faith. Yeah, as the Apostle James brings out, that faith without works is dead. Okay, if your faith is not working with those things which God has sanctified, then your faith is dead. It's dead faith. It's because it's unproductive. It's like sowing seed on stony soil, okay, or seed falling by the wayside. So above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, you might want to hide the word fiery darts, because it has to do with false knowledge. Okay, sinners, okay, share their moral code with you. They want you to worship the moral code. So they share with you the psychology of this world, okay, which is built upon the moral code, which is built upon their signature, okay, which has to do with their traditions and experiences of life, the things that they are exposed to. Okay, they're exposed, what they're exposed to in their family, what they're exposed to in society, what they're exposed to in their education system, okay, their associations, okay, their location, their race, their language. Okay, everything is based upon that. Okay, this is where Satan's fiery darts come from. Okay, it comes through the lips of his children. Okay, charity comes through the lips of the righteous. Okay, but the fiery darts come through the lips of the wicked. Okay, Satan shoots through the lips of the wicked, just like he spoke through the lips of the serpent that spoke to Eve. Okay, Satan was speaking through the lips of the serpent. Okay, and Eve was deceived with physical things. And this is what Satan does today. He uses the same pattern, same philosophy. He hasn't changed. The same philosophy. Okay, even as Jesus was approached by the devil. The devil said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Okay, in other words, immediately, he associated physical things with blessing, as he did with Adam. The first Adam associated physical things with blessing, a shortcut to divinity. My eyes will be open, and I shall be as my Father. Then at this point, I'll be able to ascend. Okay, that my body will glow brighter than the sun itself, as my Father. Okay, but of course, through physical contact, came a philosophy with it. Okay, and with that philosophy came works of debt. And with the works of debt came the image of death. Okay, and Adam lost his light. Okay, and losing his light, he had his body covered then, at this point, with skin. Okay, not the skin of light, but the skin of flesh. Okay, with his, which is subject to heat, subject to cold, subject to time, subject to death, subject to sorrow, subject to loss. Okay, so the fiery darts of the wicked, the knowledge which they speak always comes to that from that one, a foundation of their own moral code. Even Jesus knew the things which are being spoken of concerning through the lips of Peter. Okay, when Peter spoke from the tethering of the Spirit, Jesus says, "Blessed is that." Okay, this will increase your faith. But when Peter spoke, okay, in the interest of his own moral code, okay, and to preserve his association with Jesus in the flesh, okay, Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan! I can hear your knowledge, okay, coming through the lips of Peter. I can hear your knowledge coming through the lips of Peter. So get thee behind me, Satan! For you savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." See, the flesh, issues, relationships. Okay, as concerning peace and security. Peace and security is of the world. That's what they want. They want peace and security, but that's tethered to the moral code. Okay, our peace is of God, and our security is in a covenant. Okay, so we're not crying out for peace and security because we're living it. Our peace is in God, okay, and our security is in covenant. Okay, but the peace and security that the world wants has to do with the aspiration, the principle, the forte, the moral code. Okay, they want increase upon increase, okay, with that. The works of debt. The works of death. Now, and he says, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation, physical, spiritual. Okay, but here he says again, your activity, okay, of your priesthood is to be with these things for this result. The helmet of salvation. Okay, by this form of thinking, you'll be delivered. You're delivered by my holy knowledge. By this thinking, you are being washed. By this thinking, you're being sanctified. By this thinking, you're being saved. Okay, as also the Apostle Paul said, now you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Okay? So take the helmet of salvation and the sword of Spirit. This is your offensive weapon. You have a defensive weapon and you have an offensive weapon. The offensive weapons that we have is charity and prayer. Our defensive weapon is your faith. Okay? Is the faith and also the fruit of that. okay, that gift, okay, God provided for us, okay, the gift of faith, and that fruit, okay, the doctrine of it. Okay, so we're taking the helmet of salvation, the 3 S we talk about there. Okay, taking the helmet of salvation, you have your defensive and you have your offensive. If you want to pull down on the kingdom of darkness, then you have to go on the offense, okay, which is your prayer life has to increase and your charity must abound towards each other. Okay, and by this, you're going to overcome the contradiction of the sinner. Okay, you can't overcome the contradiction of the sinner in concealment, okay, as throwing away the tools. You can't do that. You throw away the tools of your priesthood, you're going to die. Okay, Satan will dominate your fear. Okay. But if you want to overcome your opponents, if you want to overcome contradiction, then you have to remain steadfast. You must crucify the moral code in order to live with Christ. Okay, that's why he says, I'm crucified with Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he removed the power of the law, the precept, the law, and that first covenant in himself. He removed it. He removed these ordinances, blotting them out, and these ordinances which he blotted out were set against us, which means these were the accusers of our flesh. Satan used the law to accuse Adam. Satan used the law to accuse all Adamites. Okay, because the offense ruled because of that first transgression. It ruled from Adam to Moses under that first because of that first transgression. But when Christ came, he removed the offense, blotting it out and providing us a new pattern in himself, whereas no offense lies. But our justification lies in him. Our righteousness lies in him. Our sanctification lies in him. Our tools of the covenant lie in him, which is holiness to the Lord. This is what we're putting on. These tools he provided for us, okay, is overcoming Satan, is overcoming ourselves, Satan, and the world. Okay, our whole perspective, the perspective of our moral code is being circumcised from us. So I'm crucified with Christ. And being crucified with Christ, I'm overcoming. Okay, how am I overcoming? By the power of his resurrection. Okay, I'm overcoming by the power of his resurrection. So therefore, I am risen with him. And having risen with him, I'm now seated at the right hand of God, which means my perspective is now on the throne. Okay, I'm no longer living under the condemnation of that law. I'm now free from the law, being free to his grace. Okay, but when I was subject to law, okay, I was hostile towards his grace. Okay, being subject to the law, I was hostile to grace. But now I'm subject to grace. I'm enslaved to his grace now. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Okay, being a prisoner of Jesus Christ now, I am free from unrighteousness. I am free from that law, the law of condemnation, because the vow which he placed within me, okay, which the moral code works with, okay, the voice, the oath, and his word, okay, is now increasing the house of God. So take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. These are your offensive weapons. Okay, your offensive weapons is charity and prayer. Okay, so praying, verse 18, here he says it right here, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, in tongues, okay, in tongues with this perspective of mind, we're overthrowing the works of darkness, okay, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is what I do and this is what you do. I pray for you, you pray for me. I offer sacrifices for you, you offer sacrifices for me. Okay, and God receives my sacrifices because they're offered on the altar of Christ, okay, being the flame of the spirit. That which is which God has granted to us to use, the language of the angels. Okay, and for me, the utterance may be given to me, that God will continue to communicate to me, utterance may be given to me, that God will continue to issue me forth abundance of grace. Okay, not for myself, God issues grace, not for my aspiration, but for you. For what he grants to me is to be given to you. Okay, what God gave to Jesus, Jesus distributed to his apostles, apostles distributed to the multitudes of people. Okay, what God gave to Jesus, Jesus gave to his apostles, the apostles distributed to the people. And that's what we do. We do that. We follow that same pattern. That through the stewardship which God has given and our responsibility to it, everybody benefits. Okay, and for me, the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known what? The mystery of the gospel. There's the word mystery again. Okay, what is concealed is made known by my preaching. Okay, and what is made known by my preaching is beneficial for your doxology, What's beneficial for your doxology, okay, is, again, the benefit of all who hear. And we all increase with the increase of God, that which every joint supplies. And to make known the mystery of the gospel, that which is concealed. That's why, that's why I'm using the word God code, because we're talking about divine mystery. This divine mystery has been concealed from the carnal mind, okay, but it's revealed to the spiritual eye. Okay, the eye of the Lord reveals these things. Okay, so that which the false religious system was subject to and they were yoked with, okay, centered upon everything of their own peace and security, the peace and security of the flesh. Okay, so they tried to rectify social issues, okay, by their aggressive, by their aggressive policies. They want to issue law. They want to dominate their neighbor. They want to control their society and circumstances. Okay, the Apostle Paul never called us to do that. The writings of the Apostle and the government of God is not for the purpose of world peace. Okay, it's for the purpose of faith towards God. The gospel of Jesus Christ centers on Him, not man. It centers on Him. That's why we must conform to Him. That's why it's called the gospel of Jesus Christ and not the gospel of Adam. Okay, if my gospel is of men, then I please man. Okay, I address those issues. Okay, his peace and security. Okay, as concerning his peace and security in relationships, his peace and security in circumstances, economics and civics, law, okay, the policies of this world. Okay, which the Antichrist is going to do. Okay, that he is the Antichrist because everything, his gospel centers upon his policies and his record. That's why it's called blasphemy and it's an abomination to God. Okay, and for me, the utterance may be given to me to make known to you, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Okay, for which I am an ambassador. Now, underline the word ambassador in verse 20. Okay, that, I'm a representative of an invisible kingdom. Okay, I'm also a representative. If Paul was a representative, I'm also a representative. Okay, if I'm a representative and also you're a representative, okay, we represent not this kingdom of the world, okay, which is of the flesh, but the kingdom which is invisible. Okay, and that's what Jesus said it himself. My kingdom comes not with observation. Okay, my kingdom is here right now, but you're just not aware of it. And I'm giving you knowledge to make you aware of this so that you can conform to this, okay, and you can benefit, okay, through this form of fellowship and communion. Not that of the flesh, but the spirit. And our communion is not the communion of bread and wine. Our communion is the communion of the Holy Ghost, as Paul brings out there in Romans. All right, for I am an ambassador in bonds. Okay, and bonds, he says, he's here. He's not talking about as physical prison, even though, yes, he did go to prison. But we're not talking about that here. Neither is he talking about it right here. He's talking about an ambassador of bonds. Okay, I am bound to the altar. Okay, I am bound to the throne. I am bound to the perspective of God. Okay, I am no longer being tossed to and fro, okay, by the moral codes of other people. Okay, because that's what happens in society. Society continually wants you to bend to that perspective so that you would worship their idols. Okay, and if you don't worship their idols, to become aggressive. Okay. Okay, but God is our judge. And God said of himself, because it is written, vengeance belongs to me, saith the Lord. Okay, I will recompense the sinners upon their own head. It's not for you to do. I'll do that. Okay, those that are contrary to me, I will judge. Okay, but it's our responsibility to represent his kingdom. That's all. All we do is we represent him and build with him. God does the rest. Okay, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, right, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verse 21, but that you also may know my affairs. Okay, and of course you might want to highlight the word affairs there. Okay, and that has to do with the things which God has assigned me and my responsibilities. Okay, and that, of course, is the same thing today. Okay, that you may know my affairs, the things which God has assigned to my responsibility. See, so what God has assigned me for my responsibility, okay, is a little different than what God may assign you for your responsibility, but we're all working together, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Okay, our responsibilities may vary, but the goal is the same. We can see this with the construction of the tabernacle and the ark and all the vessels of the ministry of that first covenant, where God... Okay, Moses did not build the ark, and he didn't build the tabernacle. He didn't do anything. The only thing he did, Okay, at the time, what those things which God assigned Moses was to give them the knowledge for the pattern. But Bezaleel, okay, and Aholiab, they're the ones that God granted the skills, so that Bezaleel and Aholiab work together, and not against each other. Okay, they work together. Okay, and when and this is what God is doing today. God is assigning each saint a responsibility to work with. So that by that assignment of responsibility, okay, we are continually bringing forth, okay, and being productive, okay, with with those things which God has assigned us, okay, the house of God. But that you may also know my affairs, same thing with me, and how I do. And Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Okay, that is the things which Paul is what the Apostle Paul was doing at that time. Okay, verse 22. Now I sent here Tychicus unto you, whom I sent unto you, verse 22, for the same purpose that you may know our affairs. I highlight the word affair again. Now when he says affairs, he's not talking about it's concerning his personal struggles. Okay, he's not talking about that, but he's talking about the affairs concerning responsibility and stewardship. Okay, and that he might comfort your hearts. Okay, knowing that what the things which Paul was preaching, okay, and the letter which Tychicus was bringing to them, okay, would be beneficial to the whole body. Now we see the word peace here. Now the word peace right here is a connection to Christ, not connection to circumstances. The peace of the world is connected to circumstances, which is connected to moral code, which is connected to the flesh, which is connected to Satan. Okay, it goes to the prince of death, darkness, and shame. Okay, because it doesn't produce anything that God sanctifies. Okay, so our peace is connected to Christ, which is also connected to our Father. Okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Corinthians, but we are Christ and Christ is God's. Okay, verse 22. Peace be to the brethren in love with faith. There's the word love and faith again. Okay, love with faith again has to do with the charity which increases because of your faith. And it increases because of your tethering. It says, from God our Father, God the Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. We see the witness and the record. We see the empowerment and the pattern of the oath. Okay, we also see right here is concerning the bridge. Okay, the bridge, peace be the brethren, in love with faith. This is a bridge. Okay, the breach is death, but the bridge is life. Jesus Christ is our life. Okay, death refuses our participation with God. Okay, but life grants us, okay, His peace. Okay, it grants us as concerning the understanding to bridge this. Peace be to the brethren in love with faith from God our Father. So He's governing our destiny. He's parenting. Okay, we see the word Father there, which has to do with parenting, chastening, cleansing, purging, from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Now in verse 24, okay, He's concluding this letter right here. He's saying this doxology. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord will use this knowledge, okay, and by the use of this knowledge through your priesthood, you will prosper my kingdom. Okay, you will prosper my kingdom. Your eyes will be enlightened. You have long discernment. Okay, you understand your holiness. You understand His sanctification. Verse 24: Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Not sincerity itself, but in a serious sincerity of grace. Because there's a lot of people that are sincere in what they believe, okay, but it's not in covenant. Okay, sincerity does not save a person. Covenant saves a person. Okay, not sincerity itself. But in sincerity right here, it has to do with also simplicity. Okay, without distraction and without defilement. Okay, so grace be with them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Without distraction and without defilement. Okay, and here this goes back as concerning, okay, that he may present it unto him a glorious and holy church, okay, without spot and without blemish. Okay, as he brings out here in this other chapter, okay, that we be uncorruptible. Okay, that being uncorruptible, which means we're following not the former conversation, the old man, okay, but following the conversation, okay, of this new covenant. Okay, this covenant right here, okay, that we would be without spot and without blemish. Okay. So here, the last verse, okay, as we conclude here in the book of Ephesians, grace. This is what he began his letter with, okay, in chapter 1, verse 1, and this is what he's concluding his letter with, okay, that the grace of God will continue to enlighten us, and that through this form of enlightenment, we would be joined to him, we would conform to him, we would communicate him, okay, that we would, that our whole life, okay, depends upon his grace as a plant depends upon water. Okay, a plant depends upon water is how we are. We are the planting of the Lord. We are trees of righteousness because these trees, which we are, okay, he planted in his kingdom, removing us from one place and putting us within the garden of God. And that through this, we are increasing his house. Okay, as we see also the healing of the nations, okay, because the leaves of the healing of the nations, the book of Revelation brings that out. Okay, this identifies the eternal circumcision of Jesus Christ, which he provided for us forever. Okay, so that we are forever of his seed, of his house, of his kingdom, okay, of his likeness and of his image.